Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting. On the web at asmallorange.com. From WJCT Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Kenny Quake.
And this is Deemable Tech, technology worth talking about and tech help worth listening to.
Got a question about your computer, smartphone, tablet, or the internet? Give us a call at 1-888-972-9868 or send us an email at questions@deemable.com.
Well, on this week's episode, we have a few special guests. First off, the voice you just heard, my special guest, Kenny Quake. Thanks for coming in to fill Tom's shoes.
No problem. Ray, it seems like I have some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I don't know what size he wears.
It's got to be bigger than mine because he's taller than me.
You know, I noticed that he was on Facebook tonight, and he's going to kill me for mentioning this, but he was looking for some running shoes, and apparently now all the running shoes are neon colored, so I recommended hot pink. I thought that would work perfect for him.
Yeah, I think you're right. It goes perfect with his tone.
All right, and also joining us here in the studio, we have John Martinelli and Evan Diamond from Alert the Boss, a creation that's going to be part of OneSpark. And we're going to talk about today on the show. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, absolutely. It's really exciting to be able to, get what we've been working on out there into the public and, bring things to the next level, really.
Excellent.
Hey, Ray, before we get started about Alert the Boss, can you tell me more about this OneSpark thing I heard about at the live recording you did last week?
Well, OneSpark is a crowdfunding festival that's happening here in downtown Jacksonville, April 17th through the 21st. Basically, creators from around the world are coming to Jacksonville to show off their creations and to take home part of a $250,000 crowdfund. The interesting part about OneSpark is that instead of winning a grand prize, first prize, second prize, that sort of thing, at OneSpark, the $250,000 crowdfund will be distributed by public vote. So if a creator, say, gets 10% of the vote, just to pick an easy number to work with, at the end of the OneSpark festival, they'll be taking home $25,000. So, and what's really cool, too, is that each registered voter will be able to vote once for each entry in the festival, but they can vote for as many entries as they like. And that's the part that I'm really thankful for, because there are a lot of really incredible entries at this festival from all over the spectrum, art, music, science, and technology, and even stuff that's kind of a mishmash of those and, you know, art and music or science and music and technology and art. It's crazy. And there is going to be at least one radio show. We're going to be there, Deemable Tech, telling people about Deemable Tech and offering our tech help to the masses. We're going to be at Adeco Ignite at the corner of Main and Bay Street, so definitely come on by and say hi while you're there. And we're even going to be talking about Deemable Tech on Saturday, April 20th at 5:15 at the Pitch Deck out at Hemming Plaza. And right before we go up, our friends John and Evan will be going on the deck at 5 o'clock to talk about Alert the Boss.
So, John, Evan, what exactly is Alert the Boss and what does it do?
So Alert the Boss is an instant and anonymous feedback for restaurants or any kind of service-based industry, doctor's office. It's a step before a bad Yelp review, basically.
Okay.
Customers can text in their anonymous feedback, and the staff can see it and respond to it before it makes a bad online review.
Right.
And so it's kind of like a modern-day version of the comment card.
Exactly.
Exactly. And the main benefit here is that not only because there are other competitors and there are other services out there that allow you to accept instant text message feedback for your business.
Right.
So we kind of took the idea of text message feedback and being able to either share those positive feedback online on Facebook to give you more of a social presence, or if you get a text message with a bad review or a bad feedback, to be able to instantly follow up and remediate that bad experience before that customer actually leaves your place of business.
Okay.
So the idea, again, you know, it's all about being able to share positive reviews of your business and mitigate negative reviews of your business through instant text message communication. And on top, and that's really what our competition does.
Okay.
So what we did, especially for OneSpark, given, you know, this event is all about innovative technology, right, is we took what was already working, because this whole text message feedback, you know, it's basically just comment cards in the year 2013. Right. You know, it's an evolution, just like, you know, email marketing is just like how we used to send out, you know, lots of direct mail, but a lot of people are switching to email marketing. So not only are we able to facilitate that instant communication with customers, we're also building a list of cell phone numbers for that business that's using alertTheBoss.com. So the benefit for the business is not only are they getting this feedback and able to, you know, give customers a better experience, they're also able to build a list of cell phone numbers. And that's huge for any business owner, because obviously you want to be building your list and you want to be communicating with your customers through as many channels as possible. You want to be sending them emails, you want to be sending them phone calls, postcards, you want to be sending them text messages.
Right.
So this is one part of the whole, you know, marketing funnel, where it's something that not only is the customer service aspect improving the quality of your customers, but it's also list building for you so you can make more money through follow-up communication.
Okay, so give me a walkthrough. How does it work when you, let's use a restaurant, for example, because I've been in the restaurant industry for a lot of years. I walk into somebody's restaurant, we'll just call it somebody's restaurant, and the food, everything's great, but there's a terrible side item. It's just it was undercooked and it was horrible. So what do I do? I'm sitting at my table. How do I know to send a text message through Alert the Boss? How does that work?
So the restaurants, they have the ability to print out a signed customer like a sticker that they could put on their receipt menu.
Okay.
Or for the table.
Yep.
Or like a table tent?
A table tent, yep.
Okay.
It has a unique number to each restaurant and location.
Oh, okay. So it's not like you have to text some code to this number.
No, it's not some short code. So it's a local number. Keep it simple for everyone. They can also even call in and get a recording, and it'll be the customer can get the message transcribed.
Okay.
Which would be forwarded to a manager as well. So they have, I guess, 140 characters it is.
Yeah, 140 character limit. However, if they want to leave feedback that's longer than that, the way that Twilio works, and again, we haven't talked much about Twilio on the air yet, but to actually facilitate all of this, the technology from, you know, a back-end perspective, we use Twilio.com, which is what eBay uses, it's what Sony uses, which is a cloud-based platform for not only sending and receiving text messages, but for sending and receiving phone calls internationally.
Yeah, we actually use Twilio indirectly on our show. The number you call, 1-888-972-9868, is powered by Twilio.
Exactly.
They take the voicemails and send them to us and transcribe them. So
yeah,
it is actually really, really fantastic service that we've got some experience using. So basically the customer will see a tent or a sign or a poster or something in the restaurant or other business.
Or on the receipt.
You know, I really like that.
It depends on the business, really, you know.
So then they'll see that and they have a good experience or bad experience, and then they send a text message, or they may be able to send a voicemail.
Right,
and that depends on the business, or was that going to be for everybody?
For everybody. You know, we find that, you know, younger people prefer texting.
Sure.
Older people prefer, you know, making a phone call.
Okay.
And as soon as that phone call comes in, as you guys have experienced, it can instantly transcribe that, so it's just as fast as far as communicating that information to the manager. So you can say, hey, you know, text or call this number with your call. Positive or negative feedback.
So, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit for the businesses, but what makes it better than just a regular old comment card? I mean, everybody can fill out a, you know, piece of paper and a pen. So why would they want to, as a user, let's talk about that for a second. Why, as a user, would I want to send a text message to the business instead of just filling out a comment card?
Well, I think that the advantage is that you're getting an instant response. With the comment card, you know, you can leave a comment card, and as we've seen in a bunch of case studies, comment cards, they'll end up with a big stack of comment cards they have to be manually reviewed. There's no type of automation. With our system, you get a text message. As soon as a customer texts into your business, every single person on your staff gets a copy of that message and can respond to it immediately.
Oh, nice.
Or they can type in a command and post that positive testimonial onto Facebook. So that's really the key. So, you know, it's instant remediation of bad experiences while being able to leverage positive testimonials through social media.
Now, I can hear every business owner going, oh my gosh, this is great.
For list building.
But for people who aren't business owners, I can hear them going, oh my gosh, they're putting my phone number on a list. So obviously this is something that they can opt out of if they don't want to be.
Exactly. And it's even 100% anonymous. The businesses do not see your phone number. They don't see anything.
Oh, that's great.
So all they'll see is a customer number. You're assigned a customer number and that's it. And they won't be able to tell who you are unless you say, you know, I'm, you know, the guy that left a comment.
Exactly.
So the communications will go through you guys.
Exactly. So it kind of mitigates the risk for the customer because that end business does not actually have their phone number unless they give them explicit permission.
Okay.
So it gives there's a lot of flexibility in our platform. While it's easy to set up, there are a lot of advanced features. So if you decide you just want to do, you know, the customer service stuff and be able to send out broadcasts, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you want to actually be able to build and save your own list of phone numbers, then there is an opt-in policy because legally you're required to have them say, yes, I'm willing to accept text message broadcasts from you.
Okay.
So that has nothing to do with us or Twilio. It's simply the law from, I believe, the FTC or the FCC.
Right. Yeah, FCC.
Yeah, FCC.
Okay. So where did you get the idea for – this was your idea, Evan, right?
Yeah.
So where did you get the idea for Alert the Boss?
So John and I were sitting at a nice restaurant and,
sushi.
Yeah,
we don't want to say where, but some fantastic sushi.
We both were sushi connoisseurs. But we were both discussing ideas of what could be our next business or next web app that I kind of wanted to dab into the web development kind of business.
Okay.
And as we were sitting there, I just had a terrible sushi roll. So I didn't really want to – the waitress was really, really nice. I didn't want to, like, tell her, you know. It's kind of embarrassing for her.
Yeah, like, she was super fast back with our food. And it obviously, you know, it's not on her to be responsible for the quality of food. So it's like, you know, we didn't know who to talk to because, you know, the people back there making sushi rolls and stuff, you know, English was usually their second language. So what was our best vehicle to communicate with the business? Hey, you know, we're not having a good experience.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea of being able to – even though it may be someone on the staff who's not the manager who's dealing with
Well, we try to keep it the manager or the boss, generally, but
But from my experience in the industry, I've been pretty much all ends of the spectrum when it comes to the food industry. So I know that the front end employees are the ones that get the negative criticism.
Exactly.
And when they're like, I need to speak to the manager, it's like, it's the end of the world. It's a huge,
it's a
big, epic deal. So I've experienced where you're at, too, where you were like, I don't really feel like, you know,
bothering anyone.
Or take 20 minutes whenever you're busy at night trying to have a sushi roll with a friend.
Right.
And you don't want to cause a scene. You don't want to wait 15 minutes to talk to a manager. You wish you could just send in a text message with your feedback.
Yeah.
And then give that business the opportunity to make good on you so you keep coming back.
Okay. Excellent. So what makes this different than something like Yelp or Google Places where people can post reviews about a business anytime?
Well, so this is the step before that.
Okay.
This is to take a negative review that would be leaving your store.
Before they leave a negative review, before they even leave your place of business.
You can make good.
You can make good. You know?
Because of that instantaneous response.
Again, the texts are instant.
And
so
you can always say in a text message or back to the customer, you know, hey, if you had, you know, did we fix your problem? Leave us a good review or something like that.
You know, and also giving them incentives. So people that had, for example, they paid for a meal and they didn't enjoy it. You can either, you know, give them like, you know, a coupon or a gift card, depending on the situation, the person in charge, whether it may be the manager or the owner of the business, they can decide at what level of an incentive they want to give that person to retain their business.
Okay.
And of course it depends, you know, a restaurant might be a $20 gift card. Some place like, you know, like my grandfather's business, which is purely eye care, it might be a free pair of glasses.
Okay.
So, you know, it really depends on your niche market. But for now, you know, restaurants are a huge, huge target for this. But, you know, again, we're just launching with this beta test thing, you know, a free beta test. So we're going to, you know, figure out how to customize this platform to work most effectively no matter what type of business it is.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. Before the show, we were talking about, mostly we kept using the restaurant analogy because it just seems to be the one that everybody's got experience with that.
Exactly.
Everyone's had a bad experience at a restaurant and they, you know, like you were talking about, maybe don't want to deal with the boss or the manager. manager right then. But what other, you mentioned your grandfather's eye care practice. What other businesses could you see this working for?
I've actually had interest from a large Jacksonville real estate company that owns multiple apartment complexes.
Interesting.
They were talking to me. They wanted to do a comment card, and it just happened to be that they wanted to do something virtual and make it more, tech savvy and all that. And so we're working with them soon.
So pretty much, sounds like anywhere where there's customers, you
could
do
this. Exactly. Any kind of industry,
a retail establishment could do it.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's not brick and mortar, there are still online businesses that can benefit. For example, my company, security.com, with an I at the end instead of a Y, that specializes in website and digital security. Let's say, I have a customer that is unsatisfied with my service. Even though we provide one of the best digital security solutions and number two website security solutions, if somebody does have a complaint, and also to spread the positive testimonials, it's something that I could use in my digital business. So it's not just locked down to a brick and mortar business or, a frozen yogurt place.
Or even like a service, like our friend Kevin Clark has a computer repair service. They could use that. I could see them using that as well, where they're able to, provide that out with their invoices or whatever.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. And with their invoice, have a, hey, give us your review here. If it's a positive experience, we'd love to share your positive experience. If it's a negative experience, we'd like to do everything in our power to make good with you.
Okay. So we talked about what the experience is like for the user or the customer. How does it work with the business? How does the business sign up for it, and then how do they use the service?
Right. Well, right now when we're in beta mode, our main primary goal here is to get as many beta testers that are aligned with the type of people we want to be working with, which is why we have kind of a private beta going on right now. So as far as getting a business signed up, all they have to do is literally choose what area code they want.
So let's go to your website.
Go to our website. They choose their area code. So let's say 904 for Jacksonville.
Okay.
And it gives them a list of different numbers that are available. They choose that number. And then what they do is, since we're doing a free beta access right now for anyone to try, they basically pay Twilio, because Twilio charges $1 a month per phone number, per local phone number, plus a cent per text message. So during our beta test, we're getting more value out of our feedback than we would be by charging our customers. We want to get as many people in the door.
Okay.
So people come to our site, they don't pay anything. They choose an actual area code, select from a list of numbers, and then within 30 seconds after hitting submit on that form, their phone number is live and ready to accept messages.
Okay.
Then they're provided with a password. That password they then give out to their staff, and the staff sends a text message to the hotline with the password.
Okay.
That then adds them as a staff member, so whenever customers text in, it gets sent out to all those staff members.
Interesting.
Very cool.
And so you got like the sommelier and the sous chef restaurant terms, the person who's in charge of the front of the house in the restaurant, or the sous chef is generally in charge of the back of the house, and then you could have like servers as well, where they would get those text messages.
Well, it comes down to the business owner, whoever the business owner decides should be handling these customer support requests.
Okay.
With my grandfather, I believe he has about 45 employees, and certain people only cut glasses. Obviously, they wouldn't be able to respond to feedback very effectively.
Right.
However, I think they have 6 or 7 people at the front desk, and I think in his situation using this, we're just rolling it out with him.
Okay.
Where, those front desk people who are on the phones all day, working with the customer database, the patient database, outbound calls, inbound calls, those seem like the most aligned people to be using this service. So certainly you wouldn't want to add your entire staff, because, not everyone has the time to do the customer support thing.
Right. But if you wanted to, I guess you could too. I mean, you could make it where everybody, everybody on staff could get it.
Up just, where they want it.
It's or you can make it where it's like it goes to the boss and it only goes to the boss and he beats whoever was out of line.
Exactly. Yep.
Let's see. So basically, from what you described, the business would go to your website and sign up for the service, and then from there they get the passcode to send to the phone number
to their staff
to their staff
to be able to register.
Okay.
And once their phone number is registered as a staff member, mm-hmm. They're given a password to be able to log in to the website.
Okay.
Now, they can do, you know, broadcast text messages. They can share positive reviews on Facebook. They can respond to negative reviews instantly, all through text messaging.
Okay.
But they can also do it through a web interface. So, let's, again, Twilio is a sent per text message.
Mm-hmm.
So, they can receive those texts, jump onto a computer. And even though a sent per text message is, it's very, very small, and
yeah.
But they also have the web interface. So let's say for a large chain, they might have, you know, they might hire 5 people to just be logged in to our web control panel and just be responding to everyone.
Okay, so they can do it through the website or through your through phone.
Exactly.
Text
so you could sign up and just reply to everyone through our web interface rather than getting, you know, bothered by text messages
right.
if that's your specific situation.
Okay.
Whereas a restaurant would want text message updates immediately
right.
so they could get that person before they leave the business.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where does Alert the Boss work so far? Do you have you said you have it in a private beta right now? You mentioned your grandfather's iCompany. Where else can you mention any others that are part of the beta yet?
You know, a lot of it right now is testing it out
mm-hmm.
As far as adding new features. And that's why we don't have a public beta.
Okay.
Because we're still tying everything together. We're seeing what the most important features are.
Sure.
Basically, we have a punch list.
Yeah.
And we have maybe 20, 25 different spins that we can go and different features that we can add. And we want to sort that by the demand.
Okay.
So we have like 20 features we want to add, but we want to figure out what the demand is for each. So what we're doing right now is we're surveying the people that are in our private beta,
mm-hmm.
and that's the reason we want more private beta testers,
right.
so we understand exactly what our clients' needs are. Because as an internet marketer, I've developed and launched over 30 products personally,
mm-hmm.
worked with Russell Brunson, Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer. So we really, you know, the first step that they do is survey their list, understand what their needs are. Thus the reason why, you know, we're trying to do this private beta to
okay.
first understand the needs of everyone so we can customize the application either on an individual basis,
right.
on an individual basis if they require, you know, a custom solution on top of offering, you know, a greater, richer feature set in the web application and through the text messaging commands.
Okay. So not to pitch your private beta, but it sounds like if you get on the private beta, it sounds like you kind of get a little bit of say in what ends up being
exactly.
the final product.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of a little benefit being part of that.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And again, you know, it's so valuable for us to get beta testers who can give us
yeah.
feedback, because, you know, that increases the amount of attention we're going to get at OneSpark. The
sure.
better our product it is, the more, you know, venture capital we can raise, the more customers we can acquire, the more partners we can find. So that's why we're not charging anything for our beta, because, you know, we do have costs, but, you know, we have a little bit of a budget here to you know, get our beta testers in, because, you know, it's worth it to us to gather that information and to improve our product. So by the time we're promoting it at OneSpark, we can get the majority share of votes.
Cool.
Right.
So after you, which I didn't ask before, when do you plan on launching it for public? Is it going to go from a private beta to a public beta? And then full public, or are you gonna be like Gmail and you'll be beta forever?
We're gonna we're
finally
right,
beta, get it out of there now.
beta for 17 years.
Yeah.
yeah.
I love when they actually took the beta off of Gmail. They,
on the logo.
They made it where you could put the beta back if it made you feel
yeah,
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
yeah, we're gonna be moving directly from a private beta to a public launch.
Okay.
I have access to email lists that will promote us our product on a commission basis.
Okay.
So right now we, you know, we have a bunch of different ways to drive traffic to our website, but we want to make sure that this application is as polished as possible, especially because we're positioning this as a premium product.
Okay.
We have not decided on an official price for this, because it really comes down to, you know, what our costs are, you know, how much value there is added, what Twilio is going to cost as we scale
right.
this. So those are things that we're learning through our private beta.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to be able to convert from our private beta to a full customer-ready launch within 30 days. If for some reason we see, you know, there's this big feature that we want to spend, you know, 2 weeks on, then we're willing to push it back, because we are not going to take this public until it is polished, tested, make sure that it can scale to, you know, everywhere from, you know, 5 messages a month to 50,000 messages a month. Okay. Because the last thing that we want is a company like, let's say, you know, a chain restaurant like Applebee's.
Right.
To you know, try this out and then for it to crash everything.
Sure.
You know, and bring our customers offline. So, again, that's where my security company, you know, goes in and does the stress testing, make sure the API can handle it in the way that we're speaking with the API. You know, everything is...
And API, for our listeners who don't know, that is basically a language that you can communicate your software to their software,
right,
where they're able to talk back and forth.
In a secure format, right, using SSL protection.
Right.
And again, if people don't know what that is, then, you know, SSL is basically... if you go on your banking website, you'll see a little lock there at the top.
Yep.
And that basically means everything that goes between you and that website is 100% encrypted.
Right.
And, you know, the benefit there is that, and that was really the sticking point and what took us extra time to build this app, is because we want to make sure that all customer information is not only PCI compliant, it's secured, it's encrypted. Because we see this growing very quickly, and obviously we're responsible for that private information.
Yeah, I was about to say, with your grandfathers and maybe other medical, and you got HIPAA that you have to deal with.
HIPAA, exactly.
Make so sure that's the patient's information isn't...
Exactly, and that's another thing that we're working on, because as far as the comment, you know, the comment system works with text messages, mm-hmm, that does not have to be HIPAA compliant.
Okay.
Just because that's something that's external outside of their database.
Right.
However, if we were to go into their database, export their list of phone numbers and pull it into Alert the Boss, which is a future feature.
Right.
If they want to import their own phone numbers, that does have to be HIPAA compliant, and there are certain, okay, things that we have to do. So, you know, whether it's medical, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a digital company, a coffee shop, you know, the possibilities are endless. The key for the business is finding out the most effective way at getting the highest amount of people to actually send in a text with their positive feedback or negative review or their negative experience.
Okay.
So, you know, it, you know, some of that is, you know, maybe putting it on the receipt. It might be, you know, a little poster on the door when you come into the business for the first time. If it's a digital business, maybe a banner at the top, you know?
Sure. Okay.
So lots of different ways to experiment. It comes down to the business.
So I think you actually just answered this, but what was the hardest part so far of developing Alert the Boss?
John, I think that question's for you.
Right, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely the security aspect. What we do is we have not only SSL on our website, alertTheBoss.com, mm-hmm, that's forced, because a lot of websites out there will have SSL, but only for their shopping carts.
Right.
Because that's PCI compliance,
so
technically.
You can go to the website without secure or unencrypted, but once you actually start a transaction with them, that's when it becomes encrypted.
Exactly. And right, that's what the credit card companies enforce. That's their policy. We decided to take that as another step, like I do with my security.com clients, and actually do SSL across the board. Meaning not only is our web interface SSL protected, but whenever our website or our Twilio API, mm-hmm, or our credit card processing, authorized.net merchant account, everything is SSL'd. So not at one point is data transmitted or saved without encryption, you know, SSL encryption, mm-hmm, as well as backups. So in the case that there's some sort of server downtime, Twilio is cloud-based. So, and they ensure, you know, 100% uptime.
Okay.
So this is, you know, it's a scalable, reliable, basically platform that we're tapping into that already works, that companies, again, like Sony, eBay are relying on.
Right.
And we're taking something that already works, that we've seen in the marketplace, and adding the list building factor to it. Because as every business knows, you know, you have that 7-touch rule where, you know, you have to, you know, reach out to a potential lead or reach out to a lead about 7 to 12 times,
yeah,
before they make a purchase decision.
Right.
So, you know, the main idea I had with this when Evan approached me was to take this whole instant customer feedback thing and, you know, turn it into a list builder so that business is not just getting, you know, better reviews, but they're also building a marketing vehicle to bring back customers.
Okay. Well, actually, that leads into pretty well my next question. And we didn't mention this earlier when I was talking about OneSpark, but you guys know probably already that Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, has authorized his investment team, the Stash Fund.
Yeah, the Scouts.
Stash Investments.
Yeah, Stash Investments, to spend up to $1 million at the OneSpark events. It's separate from the OneSpark event, but they're basically going to be walking around writing checks.
Right.
And of course, I'm assuming that one of their first questions will be, how does this make money? So asking you guys a question that you'll probably be asked at the event.
Right.
How does Alert the Boss make money? How does that work out?
So the first month, it's at cost, free trial. Pretty sure that
during the beta,
right. We're sure that all our beta testers will continue on with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be subscription based, month to month, and we're trying to keep it under $1 a day.
Okay.
So it should be pretty.
So it's basically going to be the business that's paying for it, the business that is using the
exactly.
service.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So the user or the customers, they're not going to have any, other than user or the text message fee
right.
if they don't
exactly.
have a text messaging plan.
And another thing, another point we want to drive home, even though, it is $29 a month, that's mm-hmm. kind of the price point we're looking at as far as what our competition charges.
Okay.
Again, they don't offer list building. They don't offer the feature set that we do. They don't offer the security and the robustness of our platform. So this is definitely a premium application that we can charge a premium price for. But at this point, right after the private beta goes into a public launch, we're going to be charging $29 a month plus usage. Again, just getting as many people in the door as possible.
Okay.
Locking them into those prices for a lifetime. We're not going to upsell them or anything.
Sure.
But as this product grows in quality, this could potentially be something like Infusionsoft where, they charge $2,000 up front plus $250 a month.
Right.
And that's why I think it's so valuable for businesses to get involved now with our launch, because not only are they getting free access to our solution to try it out, but they're also going to be a part of helping us customize the solution so it works best with their type of business.
Okay, cool. Well, where do you see Alert the Boss going from here? I mean, you kind of mentioned some future possible updates. Do you have any things in mind that, are still off in the distance that you haven't started working on, but once we get past this hurdle of getting it launched, we'd really love to do that later. Is there anything?
As far as promotions or additional features?
Additional features? Yeah.
Sky's the limit, really.
Yeah, really, the sky's the limit because, again, we're integrating with Facebook, so, these positive testimonials are going to be shared on Facebook. There are so many different integration options out there, but really, we have the app as itself right now with our current feedback from our beta users. Right now it's ready to go to a public launch at this point. But we want to wait. We want to wait until everything is completely polished. Because, we can improve the graphic design, the user interface. So, the back end, all the technology is working perfect, but we definitely want to make it look more sexy.
Okay.
Because I think that's important as far as just, showing the quality of the product on the
right.
front end. But besides that, as far as my connections in the internet marketing industry, mm-hmm. there are a lot of internet marketers out there, and of course they have email lists. Russell Brunson, who I've done business with in the past, I actually interned with him two different times out in Boise, Idaho. I believe his email list is 650,000 people now.
Yeah.
So as long as we can get this whole project make a mutually beneficial agreement with Russell, why wouldn't he promote it?
Sure.
Because he'd be making money, we'd be making money, and we'd be able to help more businesses with their customer service and list building.
Yeah.
So it's all around good thing. On top of that, as your listeners know and you're familiar with, Bill Glazer and Dan Kennedy, who awarded me Young Entrepreneur of the Year last year, those guys are great. We're actually going to be headed up to Chicago, I believe, late April, mm-hmm. early May. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about Alert the Boss, a little bit about security.com. Besides, the email blast, besides public speaking, OneSpark, the street team that we mentioned before, where people were actually, kind of cold approaching businesses,
sure.
offering them that free beta trial. And then down the road, paid traffic, because before, and again, this is really great education for you guys listening out there. If you're going to try to launch a product, don't try to do paid advertising at first. You have to understand for each unique visitor that comes to your landing page or each unique visitor that comes to your website, you need to put a dollar amount on that unique visitor, how much that's worth to you.
Right.
So let's say that you have a product, just like a sales page for a $100 product. And out of every 10 people that come there to that website, one person buys. That means your earnings per click is $10 because you have 10 clicks, $10 earnings per click, that's the $100 for your sale.
Right.
So until you understand how much money you can make from your traffic, you can't really start playing around with paid ads without risking your money. So, but as soon as you understand that metric in internet marketing, what your EPC, your earnings per click is, then if you're, let's say you're making $2 per unique visitor, then immediately you can say, hey, I'm going to go to Google and buy clicks for a dollar. Right. And then you're making a dollar off every dollar you spent.
Right.
You know, so that's, you get a better return on your investment. You know, just as far as education goes, sure. beyond our projects, just to educate your listeners a little bit, one of the most important metrics out there is your earnings per click, and quantifying that is easy through Google Analytics.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, again, just reach out to us if you need help with that.
Okay. When I was about to interrupt you, you called it an app, which it is accurately an app, but I think that most people, when they think app, they think of the App Store and Google Play, which this is not going to be an app on iPhone or Google. It's just going to be a text message service
and
voicemail service.
And the reason for that is because not everyone has an iPhone or a Droid. If we came out, I mean, obviously there's a majority of people that have iPhones, especially, you know, here in Jacksonville and South Florida, Miami. However, we want this to be, you know, international. Mm-hmm. We want to scale this around the entire world.
Okay.
So by implementing just text messaging, that enables any phone, not just a smartphone, to be able to use and leverage this system. So Google actually came out with something similar where it doesn't actually offer the list building or anything like that. It's just, you know, customer service.
Right.
But guess what? It's Google. So they put it on the Google Marketplace, so it only runs on Android.
Right.
And maybe iPhone?
I think it does. I don't know how much they support it anymore. It's, you know, sometimes people buy them out, Google buys stuff out and put it on the back burner.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, this idea is not, you know, we're not the first people to come out with this idea, but we're the first people to take this idea and implement all the cutting-edge internet marketing and offline business marketing strategies. So not only is the customer service ramped up, but we're also building a list. And that's really the value here for any business owner, building that list, follow-up communication.
Okay, cool. Well, where will our listeners be able to find your exhibit at OneSpark? Where are you guys going to be located at?
We are at 121 Atlantic Place.
Okay.
West Forsyth Street.
Forsyth, yep.
Yeah, 121 West Forsyth Street.
One block off Laura, if I recall correctly, between Laura and Hogan.
It should be right in the center of where the creator spot is. I believe that's what they told me.
Yeah, it's a really interesting location, which you'll see when you get there, but there is a tunnel.
It's the only tunnel in Jacksonville.
It's the only tunnel in Jacksonville. It goes underneath two roads. And it takes you one from where your place is going to be at. It'll take you one block west, and then one block south. So if you're looking at the Bank of America Tower, you're on the other block. So
yeah,
that's cool.
It looks like it's right off the I guess US 1 or Highway 10, Highway 10, Highway 90.
That's Main Street.
Yeah,
so.
It's Main Street and Forsyth basically.
No, I think you're Lauren. Yeah, Laura and Forsyth.
Okay, and Forsyth, gotcha.
A couple blocks off of Main.
And then again, we'll be at the Hemming Pitch Deck, the Hemming Plaza
Deck
at 5 p.m. On Saturday, April 20th. And we'll have a Q&A afterwards that you can come ask us questions, and you can see the app or see the back end. You can see how it works, interactions, and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
awesome.
And on top of that, we'll actually have a live demo there, of course, because by that time we'll be going public.
Okay, cool.
So you know, we'll have we're planning on doing some sort of digital display where we can see all the beta testers that have joined so far and basically show their live feed of, you know, positive testimonials coming in, how they're responding to negative testimonials, just to give not only the VCs but also business owners, other startup guys, you know, not only motivation because of how slick of an app this is, but just to give them an idea of, you know, all of the different ways to implement this, because you know, not necessarily a one size fits all application. But it's something that almost any business offline or online can benefit from.
Right. Well, you mentioned the private beta.
Yeah.
And did you have some information for our listeners about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually we accept a limited basis of beta testers, and right now we're kind of swamped. But if you have, you know, let's say a restaurant or a practice, or if you feel like you could really benefit from this, or if you just want to try it out for free, you can actually use our system to sign up for a beta account. And the way that you're going to do that is you can whip out your cell phone right now, and you can send a text message, whether it's blank or you just say hello. Any text message, go ahead and send that now to the number 904-337-6550. Again, send a text with any message to 904-337-6550, and that's going to give you, basically adding you to the beta list. Not necessarily the waiting list, because if you're a company that's, you know, aligned and, you know, we can make it a great case study, we'd love to, you know, integrate you as soon as possible. But again, you know, we're going to be going live pretty soon, but to lock in that free, not trial, but really the free usage, just so we can get as many case studies as possible. Sure. Again, one more time, just go ahead and text 904-337-6550.
All right, cool. And maybe they should mention the name of their company in that text message.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to send in maybe your website address, if you have a website, I mean, we do website development as well, but, you know, send us in your website, your company name, any information as far as how we can help promote you, not only through text messaging, but whether you have an online advertising need, an offline advertising need. Again, we do full service advertising. So regardless of, you know, using this app, anything that you need help with marketing wise, just send in a text to that number.
All right, cool. Well, thank you both, Evan and John, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Until OneSpark, other than the phone number, which was 904-337-6550, text that number if you're interested in signing up for the private beta. Other than that, until OneSpark, where can our listeners find out more information about Alert the Boss?
Yeah, you can visit us on Facebook.
Okay.
Alert the Boss. Or you can visit our...
Facebook.com/AlertTheBoss?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook.com/AlertTheBoss is kind of our online presence for now.
Okay.
Right now, we actually just, we're getting a redesign of the front end of our website.
Okay.
After we got some feedback from our beta testers. So our website is being transitioned to a different platform right now. So it's going to be down for probably the next week, but our back end is still fully functional.
Okay.
So anybody that signs up for a beta test, there's no wait. We can push them in right immediately.
Okay.
It's just if you actually go to alertTheBoss.com right now, it's not ready for us.
It's
to
all
drive
in
traffic.
Flux.
Exactly. Okay. It's in flux. But
so the best way to get information now and to stay in touch with you guys, if you're not signing up for the private beta, is to go to Facebook.com/AlertTheBoss.
AlertTheBoss.
All right. Well, again, guys, thanks for coming on the show. We've got to take a quick break. Make sure to come out to OneSpark April 17th through the 21st. And while you're there, visit Alert the Boss at 121 Atlantic Place. And if you haven't already, of course, show us some love and subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast app. If you've already subscribed, make sure to leave us a review on iTunes. There's links to the iTunes page and our Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest pages on the right-hand side of our website at Deemable.com. You're listening to Deemable Tech. Welcome back to Deemable Tech. I'm Ray Hollister, joined by my guest host, Kenny Quake. We have one question to answer this week. The number to call if you have a tech question is 1-888-972-9868, or you can email us at questions@deemable.com. Kenny, can you read that email for me?
Sure, Ray. Mike asks, as an avid genealogy fan, I like to attend the webinars offered by several sources, Legacy, Family Tree, Maker, Root Magic, SoCal Genealogy Society, Illinois Genealogy Society, etc. Most go through a site called Citrix Online, as far as I know. Before I got the new Windows 8 PC, I had no problems with attending and listening. Now I get the video, but no sound. Contact with the presenters has resulted in them telling me they have investigated and found no problem on their end, in quotes, and it must be something on or with my PC. I have sound for the rest of the internet, etc., but not for these webinars. I have been using my wife's laptop to attend, and the sound is fine on her machine. I am currently of the opinion that Windows 8 was a definite waste of money, and not just for the sound problem.
Yeah, I've pretty much talked about Windows 8 a bunch of times. Well, first of all, Mike, thanks for your email. I'm really not surprised to hear this, even with all the problems with Windows 8 notwithstanding. When a new operating system comes out, it's not abnormal for some programs to have problems and not be working perfectly.
Number in the past can go infinitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty normal. Anytime, when you create a new operating system or even just a new version, you're changing the way it works. So programs that were designed to work with an older operating system, it's not shocking that it's not going to work perfectly with a new system. So anyways, and again, I've beaten Windows 8 to death on this show, so I'm not going to do it too much today. But I'm certainly not a huge fan, although I wanted to be.
A lot of people want to be. I wish I could have been as well, but as everything I've heard and seen and played with, it just bad all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like Microsoft has a habit of every other year knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, Windows 7, great. Yeah, Windows 7, great. XP, amazing. 98 Second Edition was great.
Yep.
But then again, we also know the blue screen of death that happened at the original 98.
Yeah.
release.
When Bill Gates was demonstrating Windows 98, he got a blue screen of death. So
yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like every other one they just, you know, don't have a good time with.
Nope.
But in Windows 8 seems to be their miss. So, well, going back to your specific issue, Citrix Online, or GoToWebinar, which is the program that they use, it actually uses Java. So when you sign into the webinar, you're actually downloading a little Java program to watch the video and to hear the sound. Java was originally designed to work on almost every device. The same program runs on Macs, Windows computers, mobile phones, tablets. But Java has been in the news a lot lately because of all the problems that it's been having. There are a ton of security flaws, and Oracle, the company that owns Java, has only been fixing the problems when they've been forced to. So honestly, Mike, I would not recommend attending any Citrix Online webinars until Java fixes the problem and starts acting like they're going to continue keeping Java updated. Not Java, but Oracle fixes the problems with Java. Or Citrix uses Java to stops using Java to deliver the webinars, whichever happens first. So I would actually stay away from that. There is another solution in the interim, though, where you can keep watching these Citrix Online webinars, and that is Citrix has apps in the Windows App Store that you can download, and you should be able to attend the webinars via those apps. So instead of clicking the link to the webinar, you'll need to enter the code for the webinar into the app, and whoever's hosting the webinar should be able to give you that code.
Yeah, Ray, you mentioned that Java has some security problems. Well, it's a bit bigger deal than that. It was affecting Macs more than PCs, but even on PCs, those security flaws are very serious. And like you mentioned, Oracle doesn't seem to be concerned about patching them up anytime soon. More than half of the cyber attacks in 2012 were done through flaws in Java. The Department of Homeland Security put out an urgent advisory in January for everyone to disable Java unless it's absolutely necessary that you use it. So the best idea would be to disable Java in your web browser.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kenny. So should people be uninstalling Java or just disabling it? And I'll be honest, I don't remember. How do you do that?
No one needs to uninstall at this point because it's just web browser-based. So if you have a program such as OpenOffice or anything of that nature that actually uses the actual runtimes from within Windows or from within the Mac software, you're perfectly fine. But
Or like Minecraft. Yeah.
It actually uses a separate portion of the program.
And that'd be true, too, for this with Citrix, the GoToWebinar. It uses the Java runtime environment in their program.
Correct.
And that's still fine. It's just when it's used as a web plugin is where they're having the problems with the security.
Exactly where it is. And actually, I think you don't actually have that issue because you actually have your Chromebook over there.
Yeah.
And it has Java installed.
Right. It doesn't have it installed. So it's not really an issue.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because Apple actually has Java turned off actually by default in the newer Macs. So you should actually just check, see if it actually is installed or uninstalled, one or the other.
Okay. Well, Gizmodo wrote up a great breakdown for how to disable Java in each browser. And to be clear, we're not talking about JavaScript. They sound very similar, but JavaScript is a programming language that's on websites, whereas Java is actually whole programs that you download. And JavaScript, there's not very many security issues with them, not nearly as many as there is with Java.
Yeah, so that's correct.
You need to disable Java in your browser, not JavaScript. That's fine to keep running. But like I said, Gizmodo did a great job writing a breakdown in each browser, and we'll include a link in the show notes to this episode. But here's how to do it in Internet Explorer 8, 9, and 10. And obviously, if you have something older than Internet Explorer 8, the first thing you need to do is install the latest web browser.
And no offense against Windows or Microsoft, but I would suggest finding a different browser.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've talked about that on the show before, too. I mean, Internet Explorer is the best browser for downloading a different browser. But if you are using Internet Explorer because you have to or because you just don't want to change, what you want to do is go to the Tools menu and select Manage Add-ons. And then go to the left of the window that pops up, and in the drop-down box below the heading Show, select Add-ons. Scroll down the list on the right of the window until you find a subheading under the category Group that reads Oracle America Incorporated. Select each item and disable it with the Disable button in the bottom right-hand corner of the window, and then restart your browser, and you'll be back set up. Like Kenny said, though, on Macs, it should already be disabled if you have a newer Mac, but you can still check that in Safari. And like I said, I'll include a link in the show notes on how to do that. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. Thanks for your questions, and keep them coming. Call us on our toll-free number, 1-888-972-9868, or you can send us an email at questions@deemable.com. Also, subscribe to the show. Search for Deemable Tech on iTunes or point your favorite podcast app to dmbl.co/pod. And also make sure to come out to OneSpark April 17th through the 21st. While you're there, visit Alert the Boss at 121 Atlantic Place. And make sure to come by and visit Deemable Tech at Main and Bay Street at Adecco Ignite spot. And make sure to vote for Alert the Boss and for Deemable Tech. Our producer is Sean Birch. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Kenny Quake.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com. Oh, I don't feel like singing right now. Auto turn on.
It brought death.
Yeah, I think we have more than enough.